Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Praises to our God.
For it is pleasant, and the song of praise is fitting.
The Lord builds up Jerusalem.
He gathers the outcasts of Israel.
He heals the brokenhearted.
And binds up their wounds.
He determines the number of the stars.
He gives to all men their names.
Great is our Lord, and abundant in power.
His understanding is beyond measure.
Thank you. us pray.
Almighty God, you exalted your Son to the place of all honor and authority. Enlighten our minds by your Holy Spirit, that confessing Jesus as Lord, we may be led into all truth. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating the proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father, as well as the soul of the son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall live. Because he considers and turned away from all the transgressions that he had committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore, I will judge you. O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. This is the word of the Lord. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the second chapter. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being in the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord with one another. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of faith. I am glad and rejoice with you. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I will also ask you one question, And if you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? And they discussed it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd. For they all held that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Our text for this morning is the gospel lesson and Jesus' very enigmatic comment at the end, verse 27. He says, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." This far the word of God. Please be seated. You know, I was thinking about this because the chief priests are asking Jesus rather pointed questions. And we really ask questions for a variety of reasons. Sometimes in the seminary, young seminarians would want to demonstrate how smart they had become after their first or second semester. And so they would ask difficult questions to the prof to demonstrate their growing acumen. Sometimes people ask questions to gain favor. Again, thinking of my seminary experience, students at the seminary would figure out what questions would animate their prof and get him on his high horse and actually leave the topic for the day because he was so fired up about answering the question. And again, would come clickbait for the prof. Some people ask questions just because they're searching for an answer. Some people ask questions because they are in pain. They ask questions of God because they're angry. Some people ask questions of God because they want a reason to turn away from Him. And sometimes it's just because we get confused and we're looking for direction. It's as easy as that. This morning's gospel lesson is inviting us into the questions that the chief priests ask Jesus in the temple. And we discover, what we're going to discover in this exploration of this passage, is that God does answer questions. He does. He answers the ones He wants to, and He doesn't answer the ones He doesn't want to. But we're going to learn why He answers some questions and not others. And we're going to learn something even better than that. I think the chief priests were asking questions because they were angry at Jesus. And they're looking for a reason to turn even further away from them, from Jesus and from God, than they are already. So they ask two questions. They ask him, one, by whose authority are you doing these things? And then he says, who gave you this authority? That was their second question. What's your authority and who gave it to you? Jesus replies with the great question about John the Baptist. And they refuse to answer his question. So he declines to answer theirs. And in that moment, and you know, I wonder if you felt this way too. In that moment, when you stop reading the scripture, right there, where Jesus says, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. Have you ever secretly sympathized with the chief priests? Like, come on, can't you just give me a straight answer, Jesus? Come on. If you've ever had a hard question for God, and you waited in the silence for an answer, you may have experienced some of the frustration of the chief priests. Maybe for you it went something like this. Lord, why did my loved one have to die? God, why did I get that diagnosis? God, why is there such suffering in the world and such tumult in our country? I don't understand. Triune God is all-powerful and all-knowing. How could an all-loving God let such evil and suffering be in my life or in this world? If you've ever been inclined to question God, you are in good company. You shouldn't feel like you're just with the bad guys, the chief priests. Moses at the burning bush questioned God. You might recall that at the burning bush, God said, Moses, you're going to go down to Egypt. You're going to have Pharaoh release the people, and you're going to tell him that I said so. And Moses had this question. He couldn't go to Egypt until God answered this question. He says, but what is your name? If Pharaoh asked me, who sent me? Who do I tell him sent me? And then God gives Moses this most confusing answer. Some of you may know it. God says, I am who I am. Tell Pharaoh, I am sent you. Throughout the Bible, God makes it clear that there are some things about God that you and I are not meant to know. If you were here a Sunday or two ago, you heard the prophet Isaiah talk about it. God says through Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And then he goes a little bit further and he says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There are some things that are God's and are not ours to know. So when I was an active pastor before retiring this past August, I would get God questions from my dear church members. The ones that which Scripture has not answered. And so my answer was, it's above my pay grade. And the longer I live, the more I see questions that belong to the mystery of God, and I'm content to let them be in the mystery of God. Later in life, Moses made another request of the Lord. He said, Lord, would you show me your glory? I just want to see your glory. Have you ever had a question like that for God where you just said, just give me a peek of heaven. Show me where my future lies. Just give me a little glimpse for hope. Here's what the Lord said to Moses. I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Even when God answers our questions, he makes it clear that he remains God and we are not. Like the chief priests and like Moses, we are often unwilling to accept our unknowing, and it leaves us frustrated and resentful. I've been angry at God, have you? So they press in with their questions to Jesus in Matthew 21. By what authority do you do these things? Who gave you this authority? But now you need to know the context, right? What's the context of this? This interchange takes place a day or two after Palm Sunday. So we're in Holy Week. Jesus is coming up to the cross on Friday. He sees very clearly the path laid out for him. So what has he done that's provoked the chief priests this week? I mean, that's sort of how it feels sometimes when you're reading the scripture. What have I done wrong this week? Well, he's ridden into Jerusalem as the Messiah king, acknowledged so by the people. He throws the money changers out of the temple. This is why the chief priests were angry. And the kids at the temple who watch him throwing the money changers out call him Messiah. And now it's Wednesday before his death, and he's back in the temple again teaching. And angry temple leaders are really saying, in the words of my mom from Fort Wayne, Indiana, who do you think you are? Jesus responds with the John the Baptist question, and the ruler's deliberations revealed to you in Matthew 21 show you how completely detached they are from God. Their considerations are entirely tactical, with no sense of faith or consideration of John's prophecies or his claims on their life. The sellout tactical answer was, we don't know. If you ever raised a teenager, you've heard that one. The response of God's Son was, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. So here's the question. Why doesn't God, Jesus, answer their and our questions? And I have four reasons for you to consider. Number one, simply because God chooses to maintain his hiddenness. When I was growing up and I wanted to talk to mom and dad about certain parts of their life, I was told to mind my own business. There are things that the parents have and do that do not belong to the children. God reserves aspects of his person and his work, and they are not for his children to know. So the first thing is God can choose to maintain his hiddenness. Second thing is we can't or we won't be able to comprehend the answer. Sometimes the answer that God would give is just beyond us. My ways are not your ways, he says. As high as heaven is from the earth, my thoughts are beyond your thoughts. We're just not up to it. It won't make sense, even if he tells us. The third one, and I think this is a big one, is our attitude in asking a question. If it's blaming or accusatory, God is not going to answer that. God does not have to defend, answer, explain, apologize for anything that he does. God is not answerable to me. Finally, and this is the one where our text is taking us today, a reason that God doesn't answer the question of the chief priests is he wants to tell them and you and me something more important than the question we're asking. That's the case in what happens next. Jesus wants to focus the chief priests on something that'll really matter for them. He's trying to reach them. His time is short, and their anger is fierce. And unless they come to repentance and ask for forgiveness, these men are in great danger. And so just the next verse is beyond our gospel lesson. So forgive me for taking you beyond the printed verse, but we're going to go a little bit further today. All of Scripture needs to be seen in context. And so what happens next, after they say, well, we don't know about John's baptism. And Jesus says, well, I'm not going to answer your question. But he doesn't stop talking to them. Instead, he tells them a parable. He says, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons, and he went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, said the son. But Jesus says later on, he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir. But he didn't go. Jesus now asked yet another question to the chief priests. He said, which of the two did what his father wanted? This one, they answered. The first, they said. And now Jesus calls them to account. He says, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John, you see, Jesus is still on John the Baptist here. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you still did not repent and believe him. He won't answer their question about authority, because debating authority will detract from the real message of Jesus Christ. For the chief priests and for you and for me. He's beckoning all of us to repent and believe that he will forgive you, restore you, love you. You know he does that, right? He loves you. He loves you no matter where you are in your life right now, what you've done, what you think, what your questions are. He loves you beneath all that and above all that. He's calling the chief priests to quit fussing over the questions that don't matter and face up to the fact that they are far from God. If Jesus were a medical doctor, he'd be saying, quit looking at my diplomas up on the wall and listen to this diagnosis I'm sharing with you. You're terminally ill. I have a cure. I have a cure for your life. The issue of authority in today's gospel is not where does Jesus' authority come from. The issue of authority is, what's the purpose of it? He's exercising the purpose of his authority. And it's always, always to give love to you, to rescue you from your sin, to show you the way of God's grace. His authority's purpose is to save the world. In parables, he's trying to lead the religious leaders away from their power issues and all their sense of, we lost money because he threw the money changers off. Why does he save some money? They're trying to lead him, the religious leaders, away, because really, in the end, whether it's their questions or yours or mine, it's only in the posture of repentance and faith that we ever understand God's answers. Jesus actually does answer their question, but he doesn't do it for them. He's not about to answer the question of his authority in the debate with a bunch of academic ecclesiastics. Instead, the very next night, Maundy Thursday night, in the upper room, after he's knelt and washed the feet of his disciples, shared with them the institution of his supper, and prepared them for what was coming the next day, in the presence of his disciples, he answers the question asked by the chief priests. Here's what he says in the Gospel of John. He's praying in front of his disciples. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. You know that's at the cross, right? Where he's going to glorify his Father. Now here's where he answers the question. For you, Father, granted him authority over people that he might... Did you hear that? Granted him authority. Where does his authority come from? Interactive moment. God is always the best answer, you know. His Father, you bet. For you, Father, granted him authority over people that he... Here's the purpose clause. Are you ready? We got the source of the authority, it's from God. Here comes the purpose. That he might give eternal life to all those you've given him. Now this is eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So his disciples, who lived in repentant faith, to them Jesus reveals himself as the only source of authority. But also, he shows the purpose. And then it's at the cross, right? The next day, you see him enact the final action that his authority was given for. To die for my sins and for yours. To tell you that God is at peace with you. To call you to his side and say, for all the things that you won't know the answer to in this world, you will know the answer to this. That I love you. This is God. I love you, and I lay down my life for you. You are my sheep, he says. That's the question we most need answered. Does God love us, or does he not? And Jesus tells you, that's the purpose of his authority, to tell you that God loves you. And so my prayer for you today is that God would so shape your mind and your heart and your soul, that when you kneel before him asking those questions, you will always be satisfied with the one question he's answered completely clearly for all people. Yes, I love you. Yes, I forgive you. Yes, the cross is for you. Yes, Easter's for you. Yes, with my Son, I've given you all things. Any questions? Amen. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in faith through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
We go to the Lord in prayer. This is a bidding prayer. I'll say, Lord, in your mercy, and your response is, hear our prayer.
O Lord, we, your people, chosen by your grace to be your own possession, and granted mercy upon mercy, hear your people who cry out to you in need, and remember us according to the favor you have shown us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, that we may walk in the path of salvation revealed in your word. Hear our complaints and quiet them by your merciful deliverance, that we may respond with trust and thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Encourage us, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that we may not lose heart, but being of one mind and one will, may serve you with gladness, doing the works of your kingdom and speaking your word of witness throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Encourage us, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Help us, O Lord, to hold fast to your word. Bless us with faithful pastors who will preach and teach your eternal gospel, that we may rejoice doing your will. Guide those considering church work vocations and bless them as they are formed for your service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Shine your light upon us, O Lord, that we may do what is good and right and live as faithful citizens in our nation. Bless our president, our governor, and all those elected and appointed to make, administer, and judge our laws. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Enlighten us with godly knowledge and wisdom, O Lord. And bless those who pursue science to improve our lives and the lives of those in greatest need. Bless all honorable vocations and all honest labor, and lead the unemployed to good jobs and noble work, not only for their own interests, but for the good of us all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Show us your compassion, O Lord, and in your mercy grant healing, comfort, and peace to all who suffer. Deliver them from their afflictions, pain, sorrow, and fear. We especially pray for Elisha, Ari, Dan, Robert, Thea, and the Crawford family, and all those we name in our hearts before you now. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Unite us, O Lord, that we may be of one mind and one will in doctrine, witness, and service. Bless us as we come at your bidding to receive the body and blood of your Son at his table. Grant that what we receive in this Holy Communion we may keep in holy hearts and holy lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help us, O Lord, to remember the faithful who loved and served you, and who now rest from their labors. Bring us with them to that most blessed day when together we shall dwell in your presence on high forevermore. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant to us all good things needful for this body and life and profitable for our salvation, and keep us from all things harmful, that sustained in time of want and guarded in time of prosperity, we may endure to the end, to the day of our Lord's coming, and be judged worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, and we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life.
Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you all.
Thank you.
forgiven for you. And the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
Bless be the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.